NewsBiscuit. Real fake news.
Welcome to NewsBiscuit, the UK's original fake news. NewsBiscuit. What happens if you stop paying your TV license? I'm your host, Renfo. And in isolation this week, we have Kit Caboodle.
Hello.
Flash Ari.
Hello.
Midfield Diamond.
Hello.
And Paul L.
Hello.
This month, as another billionaire shoots into space to avoid tax, we ask the question, how many billionaires does it take to change a light bulb? None. Why change the bulb when the bulb works perfectly fine for us, the billionaires? So that brings us to our first round, News in Brief, where our panelists select their favourite headlines. And I have a cheeky sip of my tea. So, Paul L., what do you have for us?
Annual meeting of the Botox Federation fails to raise any eyebrows. Virgin Galactic bus replacement service ready to go. Most rocket experts believe the flight will take place regardless, but fully expect the toilet door to remain open for most of the time.
Are there going to be photographs as well of them, Jeremy Corbyn? Not having a seat on board the space shuttle.
New TV station reveals that GB stands for goodbye.
Hey.
Yeah, they haven't done very well for viewing figures, have they at all? Didn't one of their pieces get, it got zeroed, didn't it?
Zero.
Yes, it was recorded as zero viewing figures, which is insane because not only does it mean your mum isn't watching, that's the one person you guarantee your mum's going to watch. But also, does that imply the cameraman or camerawoman had just wandered off? Zero viewing figures. I mean, even people who are just flicking channels are going to come onto it by accident. And yet people have purposely gone, I'm flicking, but avoid that one, whatever you do. I'll rather go back through the other 400 channels in reverse rather than accidentally come on that one again. Anything else, Paul?
I have witty and balanced jump ship to Saturday night on ITV. Captured the nation's heart with their ability to deliver absolute dreadful news and horrifying data, but maintain a twinkle in their eye for the hugely popular next slide please catchphrase, basically their entire act.
I like the idea that twinkle in their eye is just them thinking of all the people who are dying. That's just a cheeky little twinkle. They're like, oh, you're all gonna die.
World of Darts in mourning as legend Andy Fordham checks out for last time.
So always end on a death, I say. That's one of the rules in comedy.
I specifically lined that one up.
Always like end with an obituary.
It's a very good obituary, though.
You could say it was a bullseye.
And that's why we don't do these jokes. This is why.
And that's why there's an edit function.
Yes. Look at the comedy you could have won. Flash Harry, what about you?
Okay. Number one, Australia okay with killer sharks, spiders and snakes, but deports Katie Hopkins. No explanation there. Bolsonaro chronic hiccups is just his soul trying to escape.
I think I wrote that one.
You did.
It was just the... He just comes across as such a bad person. I just like the idea that even his soul had given up on him.
And
he
was just trying to forget it.
Get out by the nearest exit. Yes.
Yes. If you can't quote something by the chairman, then you probably should.
That is good ass kissing right there. You'll find in the edit.
Oh, thank you.
But in the edit, the other three guests have been taken out, and it's just going to be you, Harry.
Brilliant pun. Film festival returns with can-do attitude.
Hey, I love that.
Kit Caboodle.
Chris Whitty loses his shit and puts two men in hospital. I just want it to happen. Okay, this one is really for this audience. Woman successfully buys bra online.
There's a bit of a tumbleweed there, I'll be honest. I'm not sure what the male equivalent is, because we just, if we find a shirt that we like, we just buy that one shirt forever.
Yeah.
And regardless of whether we change body shape, we're still going to order it in a medium, and that's it. That's like a commitment for life. Whereas you women, you go for like sizes and things that fit, and I don't understand that. What's that?
Yeah, like? I mean, we're very demanding as a gender. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But bra buying online, are you just likely to get like random shit sent to you? Not even clothing. Is it just going to be? Is it going to be so ill-fitting? They sent me a canoe.
Yeah, a bra that would fit a Barbie, or a bra made out of nails. That's the level that you get.
That sounds like an interesting website.
Oh, Etsy. Yeah,
that's a different website. That's a different website. There. And you're supposed to wear the nails on the outside. Yeah. Anyway.
Kensington statue wins not looking like Diana contest. This was against strong competition, which included a house brick and a pile of sand.
It wasn't a great statue, was it? And it was slightly random. It had her holding hands with children that weren't her children. I don't know. Is that the legacy she wanted to be remembered for? Child kidnapping?
Or just, my children are fine, but I like these ones better.
These two are a lot less ginger. I'll keep these. At least these two had the same father. I can't believe that is terrible.
Leading expert in psychological care for pundits, Professor Ian Wright reveals football punditry actually a live group therapy session.
The things that they didn't win in the past, they project.
They're supportive of each other. It's really heartwarming.
It's like a film critic writing a review, but then diverting to talking about the movie he made in media college that was a bit shit. And he keeps pivoting back to that. Midfield diamond, what do you have?
Jeff Bezos returns to Earth in neighbor's garden.
Just hurled over the fence, yes.
A far worse pun than the one earlier. Man who died after chickpea dip eating competition receives posthumous award. Clickbait to be made illegal. You won't believe what's replacing it.
That's how we drive traffic to the News Biscuit website. It's a series of snares on there. There's a lot. And we lure in middle-aged men with the promise of Russian brides. That seems to be how we get people to read News Biscuit.
And Rebecca, who's two miles away.
She's always 2 miles away. You can never get to her. She's always out of reach. She's that elusive woman. I don't know if you get these pop. Kit, you might not get these pop up on your Google kind of attributes, adverts to how what you want. We're all middle-aged men. Don't we want Rebecca 2 miles away? You just get ill-fitting bras.
And we've got a quantum woman.
Yes. Everyone loves a physics joke.
COVID confusion. Entire GB Olympic table tennis team gets pinged and ponged.
I didn't want to see that one. That's very good. Oh, whoever wrote that must have felt so pleased with themselves. Right. In each episode, I ask one of our guests to tell us a little bit about themselves, mainly because my own life is so empty. This month, Paul L. is going to be sharing one of his favourite stories from the News Biscuit archive. Now, Paul, you joined News Biscuit back in 2018. Now, tell the folks at home, because they won't know, what was it like living before COVID?
Before COVID?
It was a simpler time, wasn't it, Paul?
It was a simpler time.
Simpler times. And we were all watching Mrs. Brown's Boys, back to back, box sets of it, again and again. And we laughed. We laughed because we didn't know any better. Those were simple times. It's only now after COVID that we realise that, you know, Mrs. Brown's Boys was worse. Tell us your favourite story.
My favourite is, it's a news in brief. It's one of my favourite ones. I think it's one of the first ones I saw in News Biscuit. Man outside Tesco finally sells an RAC membership. the bloke standing outside the supermarket with a massive umbrella has finally shifted an RAC membership. Been a long 11 years being a salesman, highly commission based. He's hoping that nothing goes wrong during the cooling off period. She was quite old and kept asking which dog charity I work for, and I think she came on the bus.
Oh, that is such a sad story. We should republish that story with an extra paragraph at the end, kind of a post-COVID environment. There's just no one there. there. But he's ever the optimist. He's still coming back every week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bless him.
Brilliant. Excellent. Thank you. Okay. The next round for us is True Biscuit, where our panel has to guess which are the real bizarre headlines and which are the fake ones that may have already featured on NewsBiscuit's website.
Austrian gets shock of his life as Python bites him on the toilet.
Well, I mean, obviously, we'll pick apart the whole Python and toilet moment. But Austrian, do they have a lot of sort of attacks?
Oh, yeah, pythons are running wild in Austria.
Yeah, because it's a natural environment.
Yeah, you can't walk through Vienna without making it.
On those chilly Alps. Those pythons just wrapped around the top. I have to say, though, it is one of those recurring fears. I think it is a natural fear to, when you're sitting on the toilet, to have something bite your buttocks, because you are quite exposed in that moment.
And I would say that men sitting down have more of what we would think of as bait.
Well, I wasn't worried before.
Well, I think the simplest thing is when you go to bed at night, you just make sure that all your pet pythons are locked away carefully in your special snake room, which is what I do every night. Doesn't everyone else have a special snake room?
That's what this man wanted to do, but unfortunately it was not his.
The arse is always greener on the...
Very good.
I do apologise.
Say that again so we don't lose it. Say it again, nice and loud, Harry, so we get it. Okay.
The arse is always greener on the other side of the fence.
Yes. Excellent.
So you're saying a python might attack a trouser snake?
Wait, yes.
Yeah. And a python's biting.
She's not only my fear now. So no. that's made it even worse now.
I'm just going to carry on shitting in the sink as always. People may frown,
was you.
But at least it's safer that way.
Yes, I'm afraid he was bitten on the genital.
Oh, dear.
Oh. Also, there must have been obviously there's the enduring pain of being bitten on the genitals, but there must be a moment when he stood up and he looked down and he must have been really impressed. Well endowed. A bit greenish, yes, but you can't. What I lack in normal colour, I make up for in girth.
Gotta be true.
I'm going for true.
I think it's true as well.
I think this may have happened to all three of you. That's why you've come here. You seem to be speaking from prior knowledge.
This is a support group.
Yes, this is what I thought.
Sorry. A support group. So entitled Men with Pythons Down Their Trousers.
This is true.
We're not even laughing. We're all scared now.
Yeah, exactly.
you frightened the men in the room.
Well, that's payback for not laughing at the bra joke. So.
It is. Flash Harry, you're next.
Arson destroys seafront dinosaur.
I thought it was a meteorite that did it.
No.
All the dinosaurs were wiped out by arson.
Exactly.
It was a T-Rex with a grudge.
After attacking the man on the toilet. Oh no, that was a different film.
It was a life-size model erected on South Sea seafront, mostly to upset the Isle of Wight.
Or to confuse the Isle of Wight. They're so stuck in the backward era. They think it's real, yes.
Yeah, good old days are back again. And accidentally caught fire, as dinosaurs often do.
Was that the defence of the guy they caught for it? Your Honour, they just spontaneously combust. They're just T-Rexes. They rub their little hands together.
Exactly.
Like pieces of wood and wood.
Geology's full of it. The fire crews attended and...
But they were too late, about 2 million years too late. To save
I reckon it was the inhabitants of the model village. Like, it was just too big and they couldn't do it.
Would be an incredible coup if the little model village to destroy a dinosaur that was life-size. I mean, that is amazing. I mean, well done them. And then some idiots come along to try to put out the fire. You're going, hold on.
Look what we've achieved.
That's the tiny people with matches sort of screaming with the light. Woo, we did it!
Yeah. Chip forks.
Chip forks, nice one. Discarded chip forks from the South Sea front. Yes.
Oh no, I had one more question.
You've got follow-ups. Okay.
I just want a clarification question, please.
Just in case it's a test at the end, I understand.
Yes. Because I need to win, obviously. Ari, where exactly was the dinosaur, please?
It would look like it was to the right of the Moore Memorial.
Oh. Oh,
that's quite apt, because that's the way you want to remember the dead. A large, life-sized dinosaur.
Preferably on fire.
Yes, it's what they would have wanted. They have not given their lives in vain, says our flaming brontosaurus. Okay, does that help you then, Kit, in terms of true or false then? Now you've got all the evidence.
Okay, sorry. I believe false.
It was it's the proximity to the war memorial.
Yeah, that was the bit even Portsmouth, it's too far.
That didn't ring true. Right, that's fair.
No, I think it's false. People in Portsmouth set fire to cars.
That is true.
Some of us have got ambition.
You're just working your way up.
Wait, was that an admission of guilt for the dinosaur thing?
Yes.
No.
We're not taking you to London Museum now.
I'm going to go true.
It is true, and it happened in October 2010. And unfortunately, it wasn't arson. The investigation found it was an electrical fault in the dinosaur, which is even weirder.
Because all the dinosaurs ran on electrics. They were much more advanced than we gave them credit for.
Did it light up?
What did it do?
It just stood there looking burnable.
No. I think Paul was asking kind of what does it do in terms of what did the electrics power? What was this little thing? Did it like sing a song? Did it vibrate? What was it?
I didn't get down there to see because it got burnt so quick.
It was erected on the Monday. Tuesday, you thought, I'll go see it. Wednesday, people in Portsmouth have burnt it down.
Got to be quick in Portsmouth.
Thank you for that. Midfield Diamond, what's your story?
Men hired for sexual fantasy break into the wrong house. A chap who organised through Facebook two men to come round, break into his house armed with machetes, strip him to his underpants, tie him up and tickle him with a broom. Fortunately, before they could perform this act, he moved house. Although he told them he was moving house, they went to his old address and frightened someone.
Oh, is that the line they said? I was terribly frightened, but I let them play out the whole whole scenario. It was only weeks later that I felt that it was wrong. But how terrible. You move into a new neighbourhood. You move into a brand new house. You haven't even unpacked yet. And already the men with machetes are bashing down the door and stripping you naked.
And most terrifyingly, brooms.
And tickling you with a broom. Is a broom a tickly thing? Really? I think hard bristles, isn't it?
Yeah, it'd have to be a soft bristle, wouldn't it?
Is that what you asked for, Paul, on the website?
I'm guessing. I don't know that.
Revealed too much again.
It's a hell of a welcome wagon, isn't it? Normally it's muffins or...
Yes.
It's a very niche sexual fantasy.
And the thing is, if you just moved into the neighbourhood, you would be terribly polite and you would probably let them go through the whole process. Because you wouldn't want to offend the people in the district. You're like, oh, okay, this is what they do. Smile, darling. Come on, kids. It's all fun. Put a brave face. Hope it's a soft broom. And meanwhile, of course, across town, again, surrounded by boxes because he hasn't unpacked yet.
Well, he probably had this nagging sense of there was something he was going to do tonight.
He even forgot. It was just his diary's packed with perversions, and just that one slipped his mind. He's not only off the scale in what he does, it's just ramming, basically. And how do you knock on the door as well? With the machetes, without other people.
You don't need to knock if you've got a machete, do you? Come on.
Is that your rule, Kit? Is that your rule?
Yeah.
When you go to parties. Look, I may not have an invite, but I've got this.
A gift for the house?
Yeah. Now undress while I get my broom. It's a strange image, though. These two guys, machetes, a broom, banging on a door. Everyone else, because nosy neighbours are going to look at this, and you'd look and peek out of your curtains, and what? You just let it slide. Do you look at that and go, no. Quick, darling, quick, phone the police. Then you think, No, hold on. No, no. Let's wait to see how this goes first. Let's give it 10 minutes and then we'll phone the police. We're all going to be on Jeremy Kyle. That's what you're thinking. Quick, quick, darling, get the phone camera.
It takes all sorts, doesn't it? So I'm going true.
I'm going true, yes, and no other reasons.
But you've got an apology. And you've changed your forwarding address.
True,
because that's what men do. That's I think
hey, that's not my whole thing. Come on.
No, but to be fair, we're all thinking it. You're not alone. That's not a woman thing. We're all in the room going, that is what guys would do. That is completely empty house. Your wife's away for the weekend. That's when you get the guys with machetes in. That's... You've got a small window of opportunity.
Yes, it was true. in Australia.
Oh, well, that makes it all right.
There you go.
Yeah, it explains everything, really.
Is that you just establishing an alibi right there?
Parents lose lawsuit over destruction of son's porn stash.
What? He sued them?
Age 43, moved back in with his parents after his divorce. His parents weren't thrilled to see his huge collection of pornography and sex toys move in with him. So
this was a physical collection. So it wasn't like physical. A search history that got deleted. He had boxes.
Old school. Boxes.
Which school was this, Paul?
The old
Catholic one. Yes, we know the one.
His parents destroyed it, and they sent him an email, and they said, we counted 12 moving boxes full of pornography plus
moving
boxes.
They weren't vibrating when you said moving boxes.
It might be moving boxes, yeah, as they shifted along the floor.
The buzzing kept us awake at night, so we had to destroy them.
Plus two boxes of sex toys, as you call them.
Sorry, Paul, just have to interrupt you there, because it's a podcast. Our viewers at home can't see that. You did air quotes on sex toys.
Which I thought that was the most audible air quotes I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was classy, though. That was classy, as opposed to other toys. If any younger viewers are listening right now, Paul wanted to make it quite clear that these toys... We're not meant for the underage. That is the worst. Thank you.
Worth around $25,000.
Whoa! For $25,000, I would have had a lot of dodgy sex with him. And he wouldn't have needed any of those kind of accoutrements. He could have just relied on me. Was the divorce caused by the huge amount of sex-related paraphernalia? Or was this like a bulk purchase just after the divorce to get him through that rough period?
Dad did write to him, frankly, David, we did you a big favour by getting rid of this stuff for you.
I like the fact he sent it by email, that he couldn't say it, you know, face-to-face or over the phone. It's a tough conversation to have with your kids. You have that sex conversation with them when they're young, and then you've got to have another conversation in later years about all the sex toys they bought off the back of the sex conversation that you had when they were young. We didn't know what we were unleashing then. We didn't know what demons were inside of you. We should have just pretended that it was just the stalk. We made a terrible error.
True.
I think it's true.
I think it's true as well.
It is true. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
This finally brings us to the ironically titled Magic 8-Ball.
The Magic 8-Ball!
Each of our guests is going to give us their predictions for next month's news. Hopefully they can come up with something more original than England losing on penalties.
Well, you mentioned football, and obviously it's booing all the players that we cheered during the Euros. I, in particular, look forward to booing someone who I really wanted to come on all the time, Jack Grealish. And against us, he dives and cheats, and I will boo him stupidly.
Well, I know we didn't win, but I feel like I've got emotional closure on football. You know, we got to a final. So I'm thinking about not watching a game of football ever again. Just quit while I'm ahead. Is that not the right thing to do? You're just getting back on the horse of pain, are you? Okay, silence. Okay, no, all right. That's back in. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry to even suggest that we wouldn't watch football again. Sorry. I didn't realise that I know. Oh, yeah, just everyone, you can't tell on the podcast. There was silence, but everyone just stared daggers at me right then. I had a suggestion that, you know, for a couple of weeks, we might take a break from football. But oh, no.
If you want to watch baseball and skateboarding and dancing horses, then...
Dancing horses? What dancing horse website were you visiting then, Mr. Simon? What would you dance for me, horsey dance? Here's a sugar cube. You know what I want to see. Make the coconut noise.
Dirty dressage.
Numbers of people admitted to hospital with sporting injuries to exceed 2012 levels. Going straight into it without even going for the quick walk around the block.
And didn't we all laugh a little bit at putting a weight over lockdown? You know, there was a lot of kind of, hey, in our house, we were, hey, it's a little bit of lockdown timber. It's a lockdown timber. We did that first few weeks. And then by the end of the month, we were like, no, we're all clinically obese. Yeah. We're all going to die. don't look at me. Don't look at me.
Man with flare-up arse is to be appointed the England FA representative for Qatar 2022.
He's got everything we need in a representative. He's bold.
Fearless.
Yeah, absolutely fearless. I'm an all for shoving stuff up your arse. But a flare, what could possibly go wrong? It's not like you need your lower intestine for anything. I thought to explain we can get a hospital as well.
Oh, no, he just shows them all of the film footage.
Yeah, they look at you doubtfully. You just bring up your TikTok and you go, hey,
oh, no, that's me. That was me.
Did he stick up his own ass? I didn't watch the whole thing. I
only it saw looked the like he had help.
Well, that's good. Got a friend who's such a bad friend that they wouldn't say to you, no, maybe that's a bad idea, Dave. Instead, they're the kind of friend who goes, yeah, I'll light it. Don't you worry. I'm going to shove it right up there and I'm going to light it. And I want to see what happens. Yeah, that's a certain kind of shitty friend right there.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it would. Yes. Okay, the government will perform a U-turn so dramatic that it turns back time. Unfortunately, it'll only turn back time to just before the U-turn, and then we'll do it again, and then it'll be like a Groundhog Day of the most...
Oh, no, a complete loop until absolutely. Bill Murray solves COVID. We're just going to start forever. I do wonder if the government could take us back to a different age, how far they go back. Because obviously it's a Conservative government and you've got Rees-Mogg in it. So I'm thinking about 1720 is the period that he's going to be most happy with. Any time after that, he's like, no, they ruined
things
it.
Things were too free after that.
They ruined slavery. And women started talking at dinner. What was that about? Get out of my billiard room, I said to her. Well, we can't turn back time. Or delete her videotapes, as Mike Hancock has discovered.
Mike Hancock?
Not Mike Hancock at all.
We've got some insider knowledge there.
Yeah, that's a Pompey MP that we had, wasn't it? A Portsmouth MP.
Yeah.
There was a Mike Hancock.
Yes.
Who also resigned after a sex scandal. No, did he? He did, I think it was a sex scandal.
It was, yes.
So it's all of them, all of the Hancocks at it, their little Hancock half hours.
I mean, it's in the name, come on.
Yes, it is. All the clues are there. I feel a bit worried about our latest MP, Alan Rimjob. I think this. And that brings us to the end of the episode, and I can reveal this month's winner is anyone who took out travel insurance. And I'd like to thank our panel, Midfield Diamond, Kick Boodle, Flash Harry, and Paul L. And I leave you with these headlines. Major supermarkets now selling fruit for display purposes only. Tower Bridge sues Stonehenge in landmark case.
Oh!
And dating website for virologists help them find shingles in their area.
Oh my God.
Oh.
You've been listening to News Biscuit, free to read and free to write for. We accept submissions from any budding satirist, young or old. Visit newsbiscuit.com to submit headlines, stories, and to support new writers.
News Biscuit. Real fake news.
I don't think we've ever ended on groans. I think that's the first time we've done a thing and it's just been pure groaning. And I'm the one who now has to listen to the same thing again and again for the next 4 hours. As I'm looking for the magic, wading through the sewage, just looking for the python that's lurking there that I could just...
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye. Just put some faces to names.
Yes. Yeah, that's what they said on Crime Watch.
At least we all know now.
The two men with a machete.
When you turn up on our doorsteps.
Yeah, although does that slightly ruin the surprise? I don't know.